Hello there. Welcome to today's podcast with Pastor Bless Donkor. I hope you'll be blessed. Stay tuned.
Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. Luke chapter 1. For as much as many have taken it in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us. We want to continue with things that are most surely believed by us, and today is the part 4 of that section. Can we take a word of prayer? Father, we thank you this morning. We commit this section to your hand. We pray that your will be done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
In our previous episodes on the basic doctrines of the faith, we have come to the understanding that faith has three mainstream or three main branches. We have the objective faith, the subjective faith, and the gift of faith. The objective faith is what was defined by Luke chapter 1, verse 1, that these are things that are most surely believed by us, and it was once given unto us. So these are not things that evolve or change. It is once delivered, and that is all. And this actually is the basic doctrine upon which other doctrines are being built upon. So even in this very faith series, the objective faith serves as the foundation for even the subjective faith and the gift of faith. So we started looking at these things that are most surely believed by us. Why did we start looking at it? We found out that Luke made it clear to Theophilus that for the purposes of perfect understanding of what he has come to believe in, there is a need for him to be oriented on the or about the things that is most surely believed by us. So it is very, very important that you have a perfect understanding of what you believe in. You should be an ignorant, gullible Christian walking around who doesn't know what you are up to. The Bible says you said people are tossed by the wind, any doctrine of wind. So Luke wanted to protect his newborn baby in Christ from every form of doctrinal expositions, and to make sure that if anybody even come to deceive him or her, such person could be able to have a perfect understanding to what to defend. If we go into the account of Jude, the brother of Jesus, Jude said, the reason why we need to know this is so that we can contend earnestly for this faith. For there are people who will crept in unaware. The issue is not about how the people will come. As for the coming, they will come. Our job is to contend. We can't shut the door at them. They will always find their way into the church because they will come unaware. But if we have a perfect understanding and we know what we have, we can be able to defend it. And we said that this things that are most surely believed by us are divided into two folds: the essential doctrines of the faith and the non-essential. We've already treated the essential doctrine. We are on the non-essential. So the non-essential do not have direct influence on your salvation, but however, it serves as the foundation of your spiritual growth. So if you get the non-essential wrong, you'll be oriented about your orientation about the kingdom business will be totally wrong. So we need to understand this non-essential doctrine so that we can build on it. Hallelujah. And we said that it is in these very non-essential doctrines that Apostle Paul in the book of Hebrews has to come back to teach the basic doctrines of the faith. So these non-essential doctrines forms part of the basic doctrine of what? The faith. We've treated how many so far? Six, right? Or five? We've done five. Today, we'll try and finish the other four by fire, by tender. I don't want to take this to the next. So, last 2 weeks, we ended with what? The faith gospel. That the kind of gospel that was surely delivered unto us is the faith gospel. And I told you the faith gospel targets the heart. So Paul said that I didn't come in the eloquence words of men, but by the demonstration of the power of what? God. That your faith will not reside in the what? In the words or the wisdom of what? Men. But in what? In God. So the faith gospel, which is the death, the resurrection, and the burial of Jesus, is a message that is the faith gospel. And we already know that faith is all about eternity. That the mindset of people will be more focused on eternity than not time. So any form of gospel that you present to people, any form of Jesus you present to people, which does not shape the mentality of the people into eternity, but rather make them so conscious of time. When I talk of time, I'm talking about this physical realm. Conscious of material things, conscious of breakthrough, conscious of those things, above the things of the spirit. That gospel is not the gospel delivered to us. That's not a fake gospel. The fake gospel rather actually makes those things a reproach unto us. And I told you that it is so funny that in the things of the spirit, what is cherished in eternity is what we despise here. And what is despised in eternity is what we cherish here. In eternity, reproach is a valuable asset. The Bible said that Moses forsook the treasures of what? Egypt, and embraced the reproach of what? Christ. But on this earth, we see reproach. And in today's teachings, or in today's church setting, we think that when the believer as man of God reads, when a believer goes to certain trials and certain things, we think that such believer is not having faith. And I made a statement last 2 weeks that if Apostle Machion was in our generation, he would say that he was a faithless man. Because he and the wife never had a child. So we need to really know what we are calling the faith gospel. Else we will be deceived. And the moment you get it wrong, that the gospel of Jesus Christ is about material things, it's about material blessings, it's about breakthroughs. And last time I asked a question, man of God, do they pray for visa in U.S.? You see how we've got it so wrong? The moment our prayer topics are very different, the same body of Christ, but the moment our various orientations are different, it tells that someone is getting it wrong somewhere. If USA Christians do not pray for visa to Ghana, then visa is not the gospel. I'm not saying that getting visa is wrong, though. You can believe God for that. But that shouldn't be what Christ represents to people. So you don't go around preaching to people that Jesus Christ will give you visa, Jesus Christ will give you car. That is not faith gospel. That is the wisdom of men, enticing words of men. You entice people to church. So they come here without their heart being not well upon. You remember the value system. We said the most important thing that God knows that there are three key things that he needs to do for us. That is what number one. He changed our spirit, right? He gave us a new spirit, and not a new heart, and a new mind. So the Bible says we have the mind of what? Christ. He said, let this mind of Christ be. So these three things are practically changed. So if the gospel do not affect the heart, it does not affect the heart, we are in trouble. So I said in our last 3 weeks speaking, we said that change of behavior is not a confirmation of what being born again. People can change their behavior as a result of circumstances, or change of environment can cause people to change their behavior. But a newborn Christian is the one whose heart has been changed. Hallelujah. Today we are looking at, the first one to look at is acknowledgement of the ordinances instituted by our Lord Jesus Christ. Acknowledgement of the ordinances instituted by our Lord Jesus Christ. So the ordinances of the church. What are the ordinances of the church? This ordinances is a whole teaching that we are going to do in the course of this series. So I'm just going to brush it in the next few minutes and then we move to the next one. What we say an ordinance? An ordinance is either by constitutional definition law or So when we say the ordinance of the country, we are talking about the constitution of the country. But when you bring into the religious setting, we are talking about rituals. Rituals. Do we have New Testament rituals? Yes, we have. How many are they? They are only two. Any other ritual is a man-made ritual, or let's say a church doctrine. Certain denominations or doctrine. There are only two rituals that is in the New Testament. Number one, water baptism. Water baptism. It's a ritual. Every believer must be baptized in water, not sprinkled of water. Baptism, immersion. We are going to look at that. But I want to let you know. Number two, the Lord's Supper. You find out that if you study scriptures, actually, we have three kinds of baptism. We have baptism by water, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and baptism by water, the Lord's Supper. He said, we are baptized into the same fellowship with Him, by what? Communion with Him. So when we talk of baptisms in the Bible, these are the three baptisms. So we have the water baptism, and then we have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We are going to look into it. Then we have the baptism by communion. We are baptized into fellowship with Him. These are the two ordinances in the church, rituals that we do. And every believer must experience these two rituals. Communion is not a justification for holy living. I said I will talk about this, but let me just address that. If a particular church is using it as a means to define membership in the church, it is to them, but it is not biblical. Communion, it's not the system to which we use it to define that you are. So when you say, yeah, you will not let you eat communion. Please, you can prepare your own in the house and eat. You don't need a man of God to prepare communion for you. Anything can be used for communion, even water. Communion has a serious deliverance ministry unto the believer. When we get there, we will know. One of the things of communion. Anybody who denies you the blood of Jesus is a suspect. But the communion is the blood and the flesh. So anybody who blocks you access to that person is a suspect. Number two, the next ordinance we have is what? The water baptism. And you'll find out that if you look at the early church, there are two things that they minister to people once you are born again. The first was water baptism. The second was Holy Ghost baptism. The moment they win you as a soul, water, they dip you into water. The next is they conduct Holy Ghost baptism for you. It has been the tradition of those. Well, actually, in the 90s, right, it was the early 2000s, when I was growing up in my former church, I saw that as a common practice, where almost every month they organized Holy Ghost baptism. Yes, the moment you are 7 years old, you are qualified. They will arrange Holy Ghost baptism for you right now. You will clap and pray, but that's the time you realize we are finished. And you know one thing? That Holy Ghost baptism preserves some of us. We will come to baptism and you know that Holy Ghost baptism preserves some of us. So the church, the New Testament church, have two ordinances. Apart from these two ordinances, there is no any other ordinance we have. So removing of sandals is not a New Testament ordinance. Slaughtering of animals is not an ordinance in the New Testament. Hello?
Hi.
Hello? The feast of whatever thing is not an ordinance. We can practice them. Some of them can be practiced in principle. Hello? But they are not. The only two rituals that we are given in the New Testament is what? Water baptism and the oath. So let not anybody bind you by any form of ritual in the church. If you're a member of Ajagraja Hot Movement, God help you. Hallelujah. There's no ordinances of those things. And these are some of the things that people are introducing into the church in the name of our country. I made mention of some recently that so you burn a cinnamon tree and you pray, angels will come in. So make it your rituals to burn it once you are praying. It is never in the name. It's never our ordinance. That thing is a demonic thing. So any other rituals aside these two must be well investigated, whether or not it is within the authority of what? Scriptures, right? Any other ordinance that people, a church may establish must be investigated, whether or not it is what? Within the confines of what? Scripture. Number seven. The next thing that is part of the most surely believed things that has delivered unto us is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Not the person of the Holy Spirit, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And I will take some few time here to address this matter very well. Can we read Acts chapter 1 verse 8? For the purposes of understanding of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the first place that the ministry of the Holy Spirit was purely captured was Acts chapter 1 verse 8. In the very words of Jesus. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. I think it's a popular scripture we all know. Eh? By heart. Eh? Let's go. But ye shall receive what? You shall receive what? After the heart, the Holy Ghost is what? Come upon you. And ye shall be my what? Unto me, both in what? Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and the outermost part of what? Ye shall receive what? Power. One of the things that the early church delivered unto us is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And it's simple that we believe that Jesus Christ still work through us or work in his church by the heart, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And therefore, we believe in the giftings and every other move of the Holy Spirit in the church. We believe that the gift of the Holy Spirit is very essential for the accomplishment of every task or ministry God, the Lord Jesus Christ, has instructed the church to do. And it is so clear in this scripture. The power to do, and we all know the definition of power by scientific term. What is power? The ability to what? The ability to do what? To do work. Hey, I will call your science teacher. So. What is power? Power is a force, eh? We know, yes. All the definition of power. The ability, your ableness to do something is power. In the book of Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10, we read that for God has ordained us unto what? Every what? Good work. We have been ordained unto what? Every good work. But we know that to be able to do a work, there is a need for what? Power. And that power is only supplied by who? The Holy Spirit. Give me Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10. Let's read Ephesians 2:10. Said, for we are his workmanship. Listen to it. We are his what? Workmanship. Created in his what? In Christ Jesus unto what? Good works. So we are tools for work. Which God has before ordained that we should not walk in them. So we have been, you find out that the believer has been called unto good works. But we know that work can only be done by the application of what? Power. The ableness, the ability. And Jesus said that until the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you don't have power. And we can't bear witnesses to the assignment and the mandate he has given unto us unto God. And the reason I'm talking about this is that one of the very big divisions in the church is about the ministry of the Holy Spirit and the person of the Holy Spirit. Many faith beliefs are declaring that the person Holy Spirit exists, but his ministry is no more in our time. Can I explain to you the person of the Holy Spirit and the ministry of the Holy Spirit? Okay. In the book of John, I think it's chapter 22, verse 20. When Jesus appeared unto the disciples, he said, he prayed unto you and said, I will see ye the what? The Holy Spirit. That is the person of the Holy Spirit. Now, the ministry of the Holy Spirit has been existing in the Old Testament. Do you remember that Moses, God took the Spirit upon Moses? Do you remember that scripture? The Spirit of God. And in the Old Testament, the name of the Holy Spirit was always the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God. Can you see it a lot in Ezekiel? And the Spirit of God did this, carried me and moved me. So the Holy Spirit has been there. Now, in those days, the Holy Spirit comes upon three categories of people. Number one, the priest. Number two, the prophet. And number three, the king, to accomplish the work of God. So even in the Old Testament, without the Holy Spirit, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, nobody was able to work for God. But the person of the Holy Spirit was not ministered unto them. The person of the Holy Spirit is ministered unto us after Jesus resurrected. He breathed unto them and said, receive ye the Lord. So the moment you lift up your hands and say that today I accept the Lord as my, I accept Jesus as my Lord and personal Savior, that very day, the person of the Lord, Holy Spirit, enters into you. Now, how do we know the person of the Holy Spirit? The Bible says that the Spirit bear witness with us that we are what? The sons of God. And also that the Spirit comes to what? that come together with us, or with our spirit, that we are able to say, Abba, what? Father. Now, the work of the person Holy Spirit in you is the fruit bearing. Abide in me and me in you, and you shall what? Bear fruit. So the fruit bearing, now you know there are two kinds of fruit that the believer bears: the fruit of the Spirit and the fruit of your work. Hello? So the person of the Holy Spirit is responsible for the fruit of the Spirit, which is what? Love, peace. Galatians 5:22. So you can be a born-again believer full of the Spirit in you. That is the person of the Holy Spirit. And you can walk in purity, walk in love, but you can never walk in power. And you can never do any work for God. Because when it comes to the work of God, you need the ministry of the Holy Spirit, not the person. So we have the twofold of the Holy Spirit in full. His person in us, living in us, who has knit together with our spirit. And his what? Ministry, which is what? In the manifestation of his what? His power. So we believe in the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And the evidence of his ministry is the manifestation of what? His gifts. So you can be born again and you will not walk in the gift of the Holy Spirit. Am I helping? So anybody who comes to say that the Holy Spirit, the ministry of the Holy Spirit is dead, it's a lie. John chapter 2, verse 20, what? 8. Is that there? In the last day shall I what? Pour all my spirit upon what? And you are what? Young men shall what? Prophesy. The old men shall what? Have dreams. And the young women and you shall have visions. If you read the book of Acts chapter 4, Peter said that this promise is unto you and your children, and your children's children, even unto the other, they that are yet to believe. And that promise was the pouring, outpouring of what? The Holy Spirit, which is the manifestation of God's power. So anytime the power of God is engaged, you are engaging the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And why do we need the power? We need the power so that we can be able to what? To do the work of God. Therefore, no one can accomplish any work of God without the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Even Jesus solely relied on the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Let's look at what God did to Jesus, the Son of God on it. We have to really have the perfect understanding of the things of the kingdom before people like us. And the reason is that the moment it's so serious, okay, you get that, you'll find out that you can open, you can receive the person Holy Spirit, but you can shut the door at his ministry. It's possible. It's highly possible. You find out. Acts 10:38. How God has anointed Jesus Christ with what? With Holy Ghost and what? And he went about. Jesus could not move about until how God. So that it was coming the weight of the anointing. John said that he that cometh after me, I am unfit to what? Unless he's what? But he shall what? Baptize you with what? The Holy Ghost and with what? Fire. So any church who do not believe in the ministry of the Holy Spirit is not fit for the kingdom business. You can't do anything for God. Because work is done by God's power. And the amount of power you are able to what? Release, okay? Determine the impact of the work you can do. Right? So power is also defined as a force.
So any church who do not believe in the ministry of the Holy Spirit, they are born again, fine. They will live a Christian life, but they can never make any impact as far as the kingdom of God is concerned. That's why you see demons, witches, and wizards are full in those churches. Take note of churches who do not make room for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. That is where all kinds of spirits find comfort. Because the place is cold. It's dry. And you know, demons love that dry places. The Bible says, when a spirit is cast out of a man, it goes out to the dry places, searching for it. So the only place created for spirit to have rest is dry places. So when a church is dry, when the power of God is not resident upon a church or an individual, you become your environment, your place of dwelling becomes a habit. So they become squatters. So many believers are having demonic squatters. Those of us in Accra, we know squatters very well, right? Yes, in front of your gates, somebody has raised another spirit. By the time you realize, he has encroached into your house. And you know one thing? Squatters are very, 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 very demanding and opportunist. When they come to stay here, they know it's not for them, but in a matter of 3 months, they will start claiming ownership of it. That's how demons are. But when the power of God is made available, and the power of God is made available. So, we have to understand that the ministry of the Holy Spirit is very important to the growth of the church. Okay? And I said, it is one thing to accept the Holy Spirit, and it is another thing to what? To accept the ministry of Him. Now, I said that Jesus relies solely on the Holy Ghost. Give me another scripture. He Himself, He said this. Matthew chapter 12, verse 28. Let's listen to what Jesus said. Matthew 12, 28. But if I cast out what? By what? By the what? Then the kingdom of God is what? So even the proof of the manifestation of the kingdom among people is the move of the power. We must open up for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We must be full. The Bible says, and Stephen was full of the Holy Ghost. We shouldn't be half-filled. At every instant, that's why we go for a retreat. We organize impartation, and we will get there. You will find that the reason why impartation service and all this is at that is because we need to be always full. The ministry of the Holy Spirit is very key to our accomplishment of every good work unto which God has called us unto. So show me a believer who shuts its door at the altar, ministry of the Holy Spirit, and I'll tell you how very little such a person can do for God. Or practically can do nothing for God. So they are the selfish Christians. Every day they go to church, they come back home. That is it. Whilst I'm talking, you can see certain churches who do not really open up for the move of the Spirit. And now it is coming even more serious that even in the Pentecostal churches, they are even shutting the door of the Holy Spirit. It's true. Those days, Pentecostal churches, prophecy was one of the common things. Even anything they do until they hear God. Now, we have resorted to voting and casting of lots. And the devil knows that when he's able to corrupt and bring in excesses, people will start to. One of the ways the devil deals with certain move of God is to bring in excesses. And fake ones. But not this church. We are trained and open to the full ministry of the Holy Spirit. We fully rely on Him. On the supply of His power. That we can be faithful witnesses. Hallelujah. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1, Paul said, desire out. Give it to me. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1. Follow after us charity, which other word, love. And what? Desire us, spiritual us. But rather that you may us prophesy. If you don't have understanding of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, one of the things you do is that you will never desire it. The ministry of the Holy Spirit comes as a result of desire. It's not forced on you. So when Jesus said, wait until the Spirit, they were waiting, they were desiring Him. In 10 days, He came. That's why one of the blessings of waiting is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It comes so strong on you. Hallelujah. We need to desire. Do you have the desire for prophecy? Do you have the desire for healing? Do you have the desire for the move of the Spirit? Let me tell you, there's so much depth in the Spirit of God. Oh. There is this man of God who organized a program called I Believe in the Supernatural. Anytime I watch his program, I say, hey, see the what? I said, God, what, so some of us, what is happening to us? There are supernatural encounters. Deep calling unto deep. We should stop catching this surface. To the word of knowledge that is so exalted that. Yes, now we call the word of knowledge death. No. No. I always said, I mean, I wear a prophet by the content of the message you preach. Yes. For your information, I'm not a teacher. I'm a prophet. Ah, you are shocked. I'm not a teacher. That video is a teacher. Pure breed. An apostle by teaching. I'm a prophet by teaching. Last video, our Pastor Colin said that this place is very prophetic. Did you hear that statement? Mm-hmm. It tells you that as a result of the company of people here, there's so much deep things in God that we have to press for. And it starts with the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I pray that we will open up to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I pray for you. The Bible says you desire spiritual gifts. Every gift of the Spirit made available unto the church. As you desire, may you receive in the name of Jesus. We believe in the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We believe in the word of knowledge, word of wisdom. We believe in faith, healing, and deliverance. We believe in every form of the move of the Holy Spirit. And it's my prayer that you will not be empty of the move of the Spirit. The Bible says, when the Spirit comes upon you, you shall receive power. May power be made available to you for every good work you are doing in the kingdom of God. Whether that be the ministry gift or the health gift or the office of calling, I declare in the name of Jesus, may you walk in power. May you walk in power. I pray that your altars will be established with the power of God. We believe in the ministry of the Holy Spirit. That spirit that moved in the life of Stephen, that spirit that moved in the life of Paul, the Bible said, a viper beat him, and he didn't die. A generation is rising. Who believe in the ministry of the Holy Spirit? Who move in power? Who move in power? Me and God shall fire. If the apostle of Peter was able to heal the sick and raise the dead, I see that your shadow, your aprons will also do so because of the fullness of the power. So the Bible says, let us not be intoxicated by one, but let us be full of the Holy Ghost. Receive the fullness of the Spirit of God. Receive the fullness of the power of God. The ministry of the Holy Spirit. We can't do without him, man of God. We are nothing without the power of God. Small boy like me can confront demons and say, come on. It's because of power, not because of the fruit of the Spirit. Anointing is very important though. Say, thou shalt anoint my head with oil. God said, David, have I found? And with my heart, holy oil about, I know. May God find you today. Okay? May God find you. And let him anoint you that your horn shall be exalted than the horns of a unicorn. We are in desperate, wicked times and evil world. Men and women are desperately evil and wicked. If we deny the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the text shall be used like a rat. But we are open unto the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Bible said that all my servants are my founder. And with the Holy Oil have I anointed him. And I'm exalted his own more than the one of the unicorn. I pray for you that God will anoint you. That every good work he has called you to do, you have the enablement, the power, the supply of God's power to execute it in the name of Jesus.
You talk more about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Let's move on to other attempts. Melema Kasai.
Hey, more makasutaka. More sataka. The average Christian is now felt worthless because for some people we can't exhibit power. I taught in a Muslim school, a school owned by a Muslim, and they recognized me as a man of God. I shared this testimony one more time and I will repeat it again. One time I was teaching in class and I saw a demon jump onto a student's eye. And the student started to say, I can't see. I said, eh. I said to myself, so this demon has no respect. Me, my classroom. You want to manifest? I called him to the staff room. I fired tongues and laid hands on his eye. Instantly, the eyes was opened. Another girl, I saw that they placed a death sentence on her. I told the owner of the school, the wife, they are all Muslims. I said, this young girl has been sentenced to death. I want to contact the demon for her right now. I said, go on. She became the usher. I gave it to her. The girl is alive. A student who goes to every 3 days of hospital and they can't find a sickness. I prayed for her. That was all. She was fine. She should go to BEC. I don't know how she is now, but she's fine. Carrie followed me to camp meeting because she was in class and rashes were on her. When she started, she was just believing. I took her into the church room. That was the mission school. I prayed for her and she vomited. The following day, the whole rashes disappeared. The mother said, follow man of God. You are worthless because you are not walking in power. You see, that is why the church is... No, you see, look at me. Whatever I do, I manifest. If the devil make wrath in front of me, I'll show him that power is there. We have to embrace the ministry of the Holy Spirit. There's nobody who has value for you. By the grace of God, small boy like me, I have BNIs and then military men and women as calling me papa. You think the papa came as a result of my finance or something is talking on my head? I pray for you as a son and daughter of Apostle Joseph Peter. May your family find value of you because you are anointed. Living a Christian life is not enough. We must show them power. Because they must come to Jesus and said to him, there is no great leader like this who is able to move in power. His messages was accepted. He was accepted as a teacher because they saw signs and wonders. Because they said, there is no teacher like you who moves in signs and wonders. And his message was accepted by power. How God has anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We will receive the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Accra, nothing can stop us. Accra has not seen anything yet. I like fights. So when the devil bring it like that, I'm happy. I'm coming from a background of Nungoku, so I know what power is. My wife knows very well. My grandfather, not that distance. My grandfather, I don't give it to my father, said Nungoku. In fact, Nungoku is the idol of our family. If a family member of mine who's not born again, if you do something and he gets angry, you know what we call God's anger? The other form of bee, they don't make nectar, they don't make honey. They are bigger than bee. When one truly eats, you are dead. Amen. If he's angry, he speaks against you, instantly will come after you. You know, that is the idol of Nungoku. I know power. I've seen power. I've seen fetish power. But yeah, he said there's no power in this world. That's why I went to this and I see this castle boy doing those things. I laugh. I said, you do know where I'm coming from. This is, if Bosonson, I don't worship, could provide treasure like my family, we are more richer than Dangote. Because if you are entering my house, you pass by four idols before you enter my house. To the glory of God, nobody said an idol in my house anymore. After my father was the first person to come out, everybody followed him. All these generations are all following God. And because we know power is real, when we came to Jesus and we saw the greater power, we believe in power. I'm a product of a man who has raised no less than 7 people from there. My biological father. That's not what my mom told him. So talent, power day. I pray for you. Don't be surprised in the future if you see us raising them. It's normal. It's normal because that's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now the devil wants to kill this is all kinds of teachings and theories that those who are supposed to point. Who told you? Without power, nobody respects us. That's what certain orthodox churches. They have no respect for them. They can insult them, but they are very careful when they talk about Archbishop and Governors. You know if you try it, you show what to happen to you. You know why people jubilated when Benson Dawson died? He hit nonsense. If you talk nonsense, you show you that there is more power. Told the witch, the grand witch, said, God is busy in heaven, I'm here. The grand witch of all court, wizard, he told him that God is busy in heaven. You are too small for God to come down. He said, God comes. He said, yes, God will not come. He's too busy, I'm here to stop you. And he stopped him. We need power. That witch and wizard, it's so pathetic that Christians fear witches and wizards now. If I catch you in my church and you fear witches and wizards, I'll deliver you. Go and cast those demons out of the family. Me, if you are a witch and I advise you, don't listen. I'll send it to where you belong. The Bible says, for the wicked shall perish in their own heart. Don't let me pray certain prayer topics on you. I'm not killing you, but I'll pray that let you perish in your own wickedness. So if your weakness is killing, it will kill you. Number 8, we believe in niches. We will talk about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Adila Laka. The ministry of the Holy Spirit. Number 8. One of the things that we believe in as a church, as part of the objective faith, or the things that are surely delivered unto us, is missions. The major reason why when Jesus was lifted into heavens, when Jesus resurrected, didn't take us along. But the reason why we are still on this earth is because he has a work for you to do. The church is a church on a mission. So the primary goal of the believer is to be like Christ and to do his works. That is all. Not to do your work. The primary goal of the believer is to be like Christ first and to do his what? His works. John chapter 14 verse 12. Let's read that scripture. The church is an organism, an organization on a mission. So the moment we start to take a rest, we are in trouble. Now this is one of the things that is dying in the church. We have made people believe that church is a gathering, that church is not a birthday party or a cinema. We come together for people to perform. This is a place of mission. Very well, I said, he that believed on me, listen to yourself, the words that I ought, he ought, shall ought, do also. The works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these things shall he do, because I go unto the Father. We are called to do his work, not your work. The church is full of people who have their own agenda, and they are doing their own agenda in the name of God. This is where motive comes in. Why are you preaching? Are you preaching because you know, or Jesus Christ should know? We believe in missions, and the missions that we have to do his work. So everybody is called to let go of your work. He called Peter stopped fishing. When he called James, he stopped fishing. He called Matthew, he stopped his accounting work. Paul was a scribe, he stopped being a scribe of the Jewish. He became the scribe of God, writing for God. So if you are in church, or you are born again, the first question, are you doing his work? You don't come and sit in church and add up to number. Here is not a human storehouse. This place is not a human storehouse. We are not storing people here. We are not here for numbers. You are here because there is something Jesus wants you to do for him. If we understand this thing, there will not be competition in the church. There's no way two prophets are the same. I told I'm a prophet, right? Do I minister like Prophet Jericho? What are they saying? His depth in word of knowledge, I'm not in that depth. And when I'm also ministering, you see the difference. Pastor Collins is very prophetic, two of us. And he told that his prophetic is what? He used it as what? Prayers. So when he raised a prayer topic, pray. That is so. So three prophets can minister to you on the same day. Different, unique. Do you know your work in the church? You are not called to add up to the numbers. You are called to a particular work. Therefore, we believe that the primary way the lost can be won is through the preaching of the gospel.
1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 51.
What was the work that Jesus was doing? The Bible says he went about what? Preaching the gospel.
And he was winning the lost. Every assignment that you do in the church should contribute to soul winning and discipleship. And I spoke about the kingdom assignment that series. I made mention of it. That any assignment you do in the church that will not contribute to soul winning and discipling of the souls, then it's not God's job. It's either you are winning a soul, or what you are doing is winning a soul, or it is discipling a soul. That is the work of God. So just your lifestyle can bring somebody to church. It's a soul winning. Just your lifestyle. So we believe that the primary reason why we exist, we should reach out to the lost. That was what Jesus, the way Jesus was doing, was reaching out to the lost and discipling the ones he won. So when he left, he had at least 120 disciples who were well trained, and they took the world by surprise. He won a lot of souls. He had 120 disciples. The question is, the work you are doing in the kingdom, is he winning souls? Or this that you see that there are many things you are doing, you see that it is dark. Many ministries have been established today, and practically they do nothing to show winning or discipling of souls. Any church that has become a solution center, let me not go there. See, the church is not a visa providing service. There's so many wild things you have believed in these generations that now men of God are begging so much that most of them have lost their calling. Man of God, they have lost their calling because they are forced to perform. Why some of them were just called to just teach? That's all, your job. Some of them were just called to just minister healing. That is your job. Some of them were just called to just encourage the believers. What was the work of Ananias in the New Testament? He was encouraging the believers. That you son of encouragement. All your things, oh, you can't do it. We never heard of any preaching of Ananias. Although he was a bishop of Jerusalem. No, he didn't hear anything. He was encouraging them. But today, everybody's under pressure to perform because we have turned the church. No, the job is either you are winning a soul or you are discipling a soul. So if everything we are doing in TMI, doing all for Christ, is not contributing to this. That's our what is our slogan or what is our focus? We reach, we disciple, we equip, and then what? We release. Everything in this ministry is around this whole area. Either we are reaching out to you, we are going for crusade, we are going to reach out. Camp meetings is for equipping. School of the ministry, church. That's what Daddy Joe has never done one single miracle since 6 years has been preaching in church. I was asking my dad, when will Daddy one day at Sunday service call, like, we want to pray for the sick? It will not happen. I'm telling you, if it happens, then maybe it is God who intervened. Do you know, TMI Church is a school. Daddy has made it clear that this is a systematic discipline system. 7 years, you will sack you out of the church. Me, I've already been sacked. I'm here. The rest will go very soon. You have also joined me here. That is very clear that all those who have begun with you from, I say, 7 years, all of you, you leave. So if you think you are going to TMI Church Sunday, believing word God for prophetic word, the prophetic word will be the teachings. If you don't get it from the teaching, sorry for you. But we have one something we call PhD, prophetic healing and deliverance. If you come there, you not come and see teachings over there. You wonder if this that Joe teaches. The church is designed systematically to make sure that you are equipped, you are discipled, you are reached out, and you are. Any other thing, if that the whole aim is not about these two things, it's not the mission of the church. Therefore, we go out with the gospel. Now, let's be very careful. The gospel that we present is in two folds. We only know one fold of the gospel. Our generation, we only know one fold of the gospel. We don't know the other one, which is very important. We know the gospel of grace, right? Do you know the gospel of grace? That
that grace has reached unto all men. We are all saved. But we don't know the gospel of the Lord. It's not funny that on the day we accepted Jesus Christ, we made two declarations. I accept that thought. My heart, Lord first, and not personal heart. He's your savior by grace. He's your Lord. That is why you don't live a life of consecration. You think you own yourself. The Lordship gospel is the gospel that tells you that you are owned by somebody now. You must live to fit the person's desire. But we present the gospel of grace. Oh, Jesus is our savior. Jesus is my savior day by day. But he's not your Lord. You fulfill one part of the confession, but the other part, you put not. The gospel, if you are going out, the gospel you are preaching must preach the gospel of grace and not. That if you are coming under another Lord who requires your full attention, your body belongs to him. That's what the Bible said. Don't you know that your body is a temple of God? He is able to say that because he's your Lord, he owns you. Present yourself as what? Well, he is your Lord. He is asking for it. You can't argue him on that. Any believer who does not understand, has not appreciated that, you have not appreciated or received the full gospel. The full gospel must be preached in our generation. In fact, in our generation, we need the gospel of the Lord more than the gospel of grace. There are many. I read something today, and it was about a very popular journalist who got married, and there was a claim that she was pregnant before she got married, and a whole lot of stuff. Somebody made an innocent comment that this generation today, Christian generation, we glorify fornication as not sin. The way they gave it to this guy. Somebody said, I pray that your sins that you do in secret do not come to light. Is he the only Christian who got pregnant before getting married? The grace movement Christians would think that anything goes. Let me tell you, I've already explained this to you, that if you don't live a life of consecration, you are just a useless person in the kingdom. You are just a waste, a liability to us. You are not adding anything to us. You are just a liability. You are just making our work difficult for us. And I told you that Papa Ness, Elder Bliss, it is not his will that he will do all night. But because of what he has decided to do in life, it is his consecration now that you are at least. How many times do you have all night in the week? How many of you have all night in the week? Why you cry once in a week? How many times? Like 3 or 4 times. That is the life of the believer. The life you are living is not because you want, but because of the position you find yourself. So we believe in missions. And our mission is simple. To continue the work that our Lord Jesus has done. We are doing his work. And the work is simple. Winning a soul or discipling a soul. And in the course of winning a soul, we manifest his power. Yes. There is not any other ground you see the power of God than evangelism ground. Don't miss Mankesi. Mankesi is on 27. Don't miss it. You will see real power. Power. It's on the field. I've seen God move greater in crusades than in the auditorium. And if you know men who have really worked miracles in the history of men, they are most of them are evangelists. Is it Renan Bonke? Ghana here, Bishop Dag. Archbishop Adinasari. Now this man, Dr. Mpiakofi, has also taken over. We must know our mission. I pray that you not come into this church and add up to numbers, but you know the way God has assigned to you. That you have understanding that you are at a place that is on a mission. Finally, we believe in the concept of the church. So this is the 9th one, right? So these are the 9 major concepts in the church. in the teachings of the early church that forms our authentic faith, the things that was surely delivered unto us. If you take note of all these things you have done, so we find that these are one of the things that people are trying to dilute through of us. Now people have turned the church into business. They are changing our mission. Now, have you noticed that now they want the church to even become responsible for economic policies? They said, I heard somebody criticizing Church of Pentecost for giving 1 million Ghana cedis to support the cathedral, that the members of Church of Pentecost are hungry. The question is, did you vote for Church of Pentecost into power? I'm not saying the church shouldn't do the work. But you see how they are trying to dilute the mission of the church. I hope you are following. Now, the church is now seen as a philanthropic organization. So any church that is building schools, giving to the poor, doing that today, that is a good church. If you're not doing that, you're not. But it's true. Mission J127, we do that. But that is not our primary work. Let us not make secondary work the primary one. Yes, the church can take part in political decision making, economic policies. That should be our secondary work. When we have exhausted the first one, the money of the church should primarily be spent on soul winning and discipling. Any other thing that the money of the church is used for is a loss unto the kingdom. That is misappropriation of church funds. Any church that will choose to build a hospital over evangelism, so winning, that church has misappropriated the fund of God. When we have exalted winning souls, when we have done that, we can come and build a hospital. It's not bad. I hope you understand my point. These things are very important so that nobody will let you feel bad for committing your resources to soul winning and discipling of souls first. I'm not here to teach economics or any business principle. I'm not a wealth creation pastor. I'm not here to teach wealth. Bishop Dan has never preached on wealth. He preached, give your life to Christ. Go to life. They are one of the wealthiest churches in Ghana. One of the last I heard, Archbishop and Caribbean preaching about 10 ways to make money. We can't turn the church into what it is not. Let's mind our primary assignment. The work Jesus came to do, Jesus didn't build roads. When it was a necessity, he walked on the water. He didn't construct a bridge. He was very mindful of his primary assignment. The church's primary assignment is to do the work God has asked us to do. So we need discipling of souls. If you are doing that, fine. You can add other things. If you are not doing that, then you add other things. You are lost to the kingdom. So our mission is simple, the work that he was doing. So that nobody come and then start telling you that, hey, and you people, and then the poor, Jesus said for the poor, they'll always be with you. When we are done with our primary assignment that God has given us, we attend to the secondary assignment. God is not against it. I spoke about the value system, that God is not even against you making up. He said, in the book of Philippians, said that you preserve both your spirit, your soul, and heart, your body. Even God preserves your body. So attending to your body is very necessary. But the most important one is what? That's why I first of all taught value system. So you understand the values. The message is loaded today, right? On the Telegram page. So the value system, all under value system is there. So that you understand why I'm saying this. First thing what? First. The church. In a quick one. The word church, ecclesia, is the universal legal representative of Christ on earth. Finish. The word church, or the church, let me say church, the church, is the universal legal representative of what? Christ on earth. On the earth. Your MP is your ecclesia. He's representing you in parliament. He is the representative of your constituency. Number two, The church is the body of Christ through which he continues his ministry on earth. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 21. Far above all principality and powers and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in which is to come. Verse 22. And that he put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. I follow you. Verse 23. Which is his what? Body. That fullness of him that filled all in us. In all. So the church is the body of what? Christ. And it is the legal, universal representative of Christ on this earth to continue his what? His work. Therefore, the church is not pastors and church members, laity and not. The clergy and not the laity. God never instituted that. It is a man-made. Though it is not bad, but we have made it very bad. And there is nothing a man will do wrong and will not become very bad. If the church is the universal legal system of God to continue his work on earth, it means that every member of the church is very vital. Take this from me. So every member of the church has a significant part to play in the fulfillment of the work of God on this earth. The church is to continue the ministry of Jesus. So every member. So the concept of the church is simple and short. The universal legal representative of what? Christ on earth. That is it. That is the concept of the church. Everybody has something to do here. First Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Let's look at the definition of the church according to our Muslim. The church is what? We are what? A chosen what? Not a chosen country. A chosen what? So it's generation. A royal what? So there are generations of generations, but this generation is the chosen generation. That's the church. And what? A royal what? Do you know who priests are? They are minister unto God or minister unto spirits. Everybody has something to do. And what? Are not holy, and the word holy means what? Set apart, separated. A peculiar. So look, this is the definition of the church. Chosen generation, number one, number two, what? A royal priesthood, number what? Number four, peculiar. So you are not a common. So nobody is common in the church. The pastor is not more important than the church member. We are all peculiar people unto God. We have come to a point where, man of God, pastors are now idols. We honor and remember men of God, but we don't worship them. The moment we start worshiping a man, that church ceases to be the church of God. It belongs to them. We are in times and season where the average believer is handicap without the pastor. Handy crowd, my friend is awesome. There was a story that you just shared some time ago that a particular man was in a particular church that he wanted to leave. To the extent that even if he has to sleep with the wife, the man of God has to tell him when to sleep with the wife. All in the name of training him to become a man of God. Even he has to. That is demonic. That is what we call witchcraft. That is witchcraft. Real one. Perfect one. Manipulation at the highest order. Everybody is peculiar in the church. So this thing about clergy and late life. Some, these people are here. We are here. They hear God. They come to tell us. Yes. It is not the church. We are all having equal access. Come boldly for the glory of God. I already told you the role of the clergy. in biblical definition, Ephesians chapter 4, for the perfection of God, the saints. It is not to be Lord over the saints. We all have only one Lord. The Bible says there's only one Lord. There's only one Lord. We are all under that Lord. So the church is not divided. The church, God never divided the church, and these are important people, these are common people. No. So I want to correct that concept of the church. Because we are all peculiar people. That you should show God the praise of who are not called us on out of order to a marvelous life. Because we are all peculiar people, there are deposits in everybody that needs to come out. Therefore, every member in the church must be trained, equipped, that whatever God has deposited in that believer will come out. And you know the truth of this matter. The ability of the church to take over a territory do not lie in the power of one person. Last year at camp meeting, I preached on this concept. And I told you that the Bible said darkness could not comprehend light, could not understand light, or could not sound light. So let's say that this whole room is very dark, okay? And I am the only light. There is an amount of intensity that I can shine that darkness cannot comprehend. In other words, because I am here, that thing that darkness could have done, they can't do it. So imagine Osofu is also another light, right? Come to add up my light. You know that the intensity of clarity will increase, right? Then another intensity. So how we drive out darkness? When I talk of darkness, the work of the devil. Because darkness stands for the demonic kingdom. Its physical manifestation is what we call night. And light stands for the manifestation of the kingdom of God. Its physical manifestation is what we call day. Have you seen the difference? So day and night are physical representation of darkness and light. Now, this is how light dispels the activities of darkness. When there's a confluence of light, darkness goes far. So there's a level to which I can shine to. When they move to that place, this man is also there. When they move to this is how the Bible said the early church, they took a city and turned it upside down. Because it was not only one person who was frightened. The Bible said the righteous is like God, a monster. And it's bright and keep us bright in it. So the moment the church is not equipping everybody to shine in their own level of light, the darkness will have a portion that it will occupy that we can never overtake. That's why in politics you cannot conquer them. Because we don't treat the politicians well. Somebody is saying that it is an abuse for Prophet Jericho to be a lawyer. Because there's no way you can lie. If he doesn't get you by physical evidence, he can get you by spiritual. He can cross-examine you prophetically. And you can't get, because he's just asking a question, it's allowed. But he can pray and receive certain revelations that no amount of CID can ever find out. Do you think that he being a lawyer in the court, that is not an amount of light over there? Imagine there are 10 of you working in Ghana, 20 of you, 30 of you. Imagine we have the same type of him working in the parliament, the same understanding and grounding. So the darkness can never comprehend us because we are more than them. But one person will overcome. So the Bible says, for one shall put to fly down in 1,000. But two to us, I pray, every deposit of God in you, may God use this set to bring it up. May you shine. I pray for you that you be trained and equipped. Mahina Makabasaya. Atushakaya. May you be empowered to be an ambassador of Christ. That we will show forth the manifold power of God unto the power of darkness. That we need to take over all the mountains. The economical mountain, the political mountain, the educational mountain, the entertainment mountain. And God is raising light. The Bible says you are the light of the world. A city on a hill whose brightness cannot be hidden. Therefore, let your light shine, so bright that people will see your goodness. Enough of these common people and important people in the church.
We are all peculiar people with our own brightness, like a star separated. And this is the concept of the church, that we will literally represent Jesus at every sphere of life and wherever we find ourselves. I pray for you. I pray for you that you will brighten your corner. That you will brighten your corner. You will brighten your corner. In the name of Jesus, wherever God will bless you, whether in politics, whether in education, whether in any place, you will find yourself, you will represent the interests of the church. Enough of having confidence in the church, and we have the powerful men of God. There are no powerful men in the Bible. We are all holy men. We are all holy men. I pray that the church will begin to work together as a universal legal authority to dispel darkness.
Can you understand? Jesus. The purpose of empowering the church, the purpose of empowerment in the church, is that the counsel of God, the counsel of Christ, the manifold wisdom of God will be released, that it will confound the wisdom of the power of darkness. Let's read this scripture. We will pray in a few minutes. Ephesians 3:10. This is what the Bible says, Ephesians 7%. Ephesians 7%, come in the knee, come up. It says, to the intent that now unto the principalities and unto powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of what? Of God. One person cannot show for the whole counsel of God. You know in part, I know in part. I receive in part, you receive in part. We all need to be equally empowered, and then the full manifold wisdom of God will be seen. That is why I said that is holistically before Lord. The devil cannot enter that church. We are lifting up a cry, we are praying. Oh God, restore the image of the church. Let the idea of the church be restored. That this clergy thing, this clergy lady thing, this common and more important people shall die in the church. We shall raise everybody as peculiar as our God has made them. Mandelia Kappa. Hey, Mandolo Kusaya.
Glad you stayed. I believe you were blessed. See you some other time. Bye for now.